1 Corinthians 6, from verse 1 to verse 9. Another black mark against the Corinthian church. Another step down. And yet again, another way in which this church at Corinth is so relevant to today's churches. Many of today's churches could take their stand right alongside Corinth, because in essence, in principle, they are guilty of the very same failures, sins, mistakes, errors, corruptions that Corinth was committing. What was going on here? Well, there were some quarrels in the church. Now, that's sad, and it's wrong, but the new covenant makes full provision for disagreements between believers. Christ is explicit in Matthew 18. Romans 14 and 15. And such passages as that show very clearly that the new covenant takes full account of our frailties, sins, mistakes, clashes, and all the rest of it. And things have to be sorted out, and they have to be sorted out. It's no good burying our head in the sand. It's no good turning a blind eye. It's no good wishing them away. Disputes should not arise, but they do arise, and we have to deal with them. As I said, there is a new covenant way of doing it. What was going on at Corinth? Instead of using the principles of the new covenant, love, self-effacement, Christ-likeness, the proper procedures within the church, 1 Corinthians 5, Matthew 18, instead of applying such principles, especially the love principle, what was happening? They had disputes one with another, right? And they were going before the pagans and saying to the pagans, will you sort this out for us? And two believers would wrangle and argue before pagans, probably in the law courts. And Paul is seething about it. If any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? They're going before the pagans, the ungodly, the world, the wicked. These are the words he uses in this passage. Wicked, verse 9, the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. As I say, in verse 1, the ungodly. Verse 2, the world. And so, believers are taking their wrangles and their disputes to the people that are the ungodly, the worldly, the carnal, the pagan, the wicked. It's absolutely unbelievable. You see, it's utterly wrong for this kind of testimony before the world for a start. And then these matters, they have a spiritual dimension to them, seeing its believers who are quarreling. Pagans have no competence in this area. They have no ability to deal with this. And it's a grievous thing to think that believers should ever take their church matters, their disputes with one another, before the pagans. Verse 2, don't you know that the saints will judge the world? Don't you understand the power, the dignity, the elevation that God has placed upon the saints, the sanctified? Sanctified means separate. They are separate from the pagan, and they're going back to the pagan. They're separate from the wicked, but they're going back to the wicked. Separate from the world, but they're going back to the world. And if you are to judge the world, Are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Because that's what these disputes are. 99% of them are over material matters. Land or money or whatever. How much more do you not know that we will judge angels? Do you not know again? Angels this time. The world. Do you not know that we're going to be judging even angels? Can't we judge the things of this life? Aren't we competent enough to sort one another out in this? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint as judges even men of little account in the church. Now, there's a difficulty here. What does he mean? Is he being ironical, which Paul often is, especially in his letter, but he is? What is he saying? You have disputes between believers. Give it to the weakest, newest believer. He can sort it out. Any believer can do it. Is he saying that in an ironical way, bringing them down to size? Or is he literally meaning it? Yes, give it to the weakest believer. But I think what he is saying here is, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint as judges even men of little account in the church. I think he's being ironical, and what he is saying to them, go to the pagans. They're of no standing in the church. They have little account in the church. They have nothing to say about the church. They have nothing to do with the church. So, go to pagans. And I think it's ironical. I think what he is saying to them, are you really going to men who have no competence, enemies of the gospel, haters of Christ and of God, and you're allowing them to judge between spiritual men? I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you, you see, as opposed to the pagans, wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? Now, you see, yes, how you're treating it. We can't sort it out. And yet Matthew 18 is explicit. The church can sort it out. Believers can sort it out and must sort it out. But instead, one brother goes to law against another, and this in front of unbelievers. You go to the law, literally. You go to the law. Disputes and fighting. Go to grace. Go to the gospel. Go to scripture. Go to Christ. Go to the Spirit. And then he elevates it. The apostle says the very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you've been completely defeated already. You might win the case, but you've lost. You see, if love was the dominant factor, and love is the great fulfillment of the law, you know. It's what the Bible tells us, what Paul says. By this will all men know that you are my disciples and that you have disputes among another. No, in that you have love one for another. And the principle of love is, why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be treated? After all, it's trivial cases. It's small matters. Feeble disputes. Instead of that, you go to get your rights, even before pagans. Why not be wronged? Why talk about your rights? Why not suffer the wrong? And what is more, verse 8, instead you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers. You're defrauding, cheating your brothers, immaterial things, who I would say it probably is, and you're doing that. And you want the world to sort it out for you. I cannot believe it. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you not know? Do you not know? Do you not know? He says, probing them, arguing with them, reasoning with them by the powerful method of questions, far more powerful than statements. Ignorance here at Corinth. You don't know, he says. You're acting as though you don't know. Carnality, materialism, quarreling about money, about space, about this or that or the other, of trivial things, worldly-minded, material-minded. Their sense of values is all wrong here. Do you not know? Let love ring among you. And don't you understand the power of the believer and the power of the ecclesia, the power of the assembly? 1 Corinthians 5, Matthew 18. You are the saints of God, and you can judge these things and sort these things out. I say that this church is paralleled today by not a few churches. Oh, we don't have disputes, some do. I have seen it in the major press in this country. I have seen things about believers. I've seen their photographs. And I remember the shock when I've seen it. See, believers, two great giants of believers, two parties, well-known, household names amongst the Reformed, great teachers, their names in the press, their pictures in the press. And it's all laid out. Why? Because they've been taken in some way or another in their disputes to the courts. Of course it goes on. But the principle is going on all the time. The church today apes the world. The church today consults the world. How do you want us to reach you? What can we offer you? They consult the world to advise them how to do their work. There's a church locally, a big one, that does it. I know that if the man and the men who were listening there were listening to me, they would say, ah, well, we're only doing it to consult about this and that and the other and the business of that and the buildings and so on. Yes, nearly all of they consult about is nothing to do with the New Testament. It's just institutionalism, buildings, financial stuff, organizing programs and all that kind of stuff. But they've gone to the world, you see. The world's methods. The world and the church. The church and the world. It's like Animal Farm at the end. You can't tell the pigs from the men and the men from the pigs. They're all together. But the New Testament shows that the church is separate from the world. It's come out from the world. God has sanctified the believer. He sanctified his people. For their sake I sanctify myself, said Christ, that they may be sanctified. And here are the pagans going back. The church going back to the pagans. Sanctified means separate. Have nothing to do with them in their principles and ways. Evangelists advise them by preaching the gospel to them and getting them converted. And then see them in the church. But don't take your affairs to the pagans. I say that the churches today, many, are guilty of worldliness, carnality, and paganism in the affairs that they run. I say that there's an emphasis upon the material. See how much money we collected, how much money we need, how many buildings we got, bragging about it. I see these principles here, pride, the sense of values all wrong. And where is the love of the Spirit? Where is the love of Christ? The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Where is the sense of the power of the church within itself? The sense of the ecclesia? We've become a worldly society in many cases. We're acting like the world. And as Paul says to the Corinthians, you are carnal. Well, I think this passage again rebukes us. And I want to be a man who's spiritually minded. And if I have a dispute with another believer, use the principles of Romans 14 and 15, Matthew 18. If it comes to it, even 1 Corinthians 5, to get it sorted out. But never, never, never to do the dirty washing in public before the pagan. Unbeliever, I'm going to be frank with you. You'll see what the apostle says about you. Ungodly. Worldly. Pagan. Wicked. You don't agree, of course, I know. You dismiss it. The people we want you to be, saints, godly, spiritually minded. And there's only one way to bring about that change. You must be born again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Don't go down with the wicked, the carnal, the pagan, the ungodly. Be joined to Christ. Be separate from the world. Come out from among them and be joined unto Christ. Be one of the saints and live as a child of God, now and for eternity. But my main discourse must be for the believer. Believer, let us learn from this passage, and may spiritual love and spiritual power reign in our lives, and may we have the right biblical, spiritual, new covenant sense of values for Jesus' sake. Amen.